Fake handoff. He'll throw it on second down. Deep down the middle. Wide open man. Akeem Butler. Over the shoulder catch. It's going to be a Cyclone touchdown.
Has a little moxie about him, doesn't it?
He absolutely does. You saw how fired up his sideline was. And they're going to be elated for this. Purdy to the end zone.
Because, yeah, good's good. But what's elite in the elite moments? Don't tell me what you've done. Go back into the critical moments and tell me what you should have done when you had the opportunity to do it. That's what elite is. That's what warriors do. That's what champions do.
Welcome to the Whitecast.
Welcome, listeners, to an off-season edition of the Wide Right 90 Lightcast. It had been a few weeks. I figured we gotta do a little podcasting because there's a lot of stuff going on in Iowa State land and otherwise. It's really a great stretch on the sports calendar, I got to say. But I'm Austin Keeney. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Matt Nelson. Mm. And Matt, I got to bring you in with just a simple, what's going on, man? You know, it's been a few weeks. Haven't really haven't talked much lately.
Yeah, man, been busy, been traveling a lot for work up in the beautiful North Country. Obviously been a lot of Cyclone stuff to keep track of, which I've done. Keeney, I know you have, and I know our loyal listeners probably miss us weighing in on the news. It is the off season though, so maybe not bad to unplug for a bit, Keeney, but rest assured we're back like a bean burrito.
I was going to say back and better than ever. And, you know, okay. After that, you know, emotional run through the NCAA tournament for both the men and the women for the basketball teams, it was kind of nice to just unplug for a couple weeks, although that's not really how it works. You know, we're locked in on what's going on with the portal and everything else. But I do want to start this episode. Matt, I didn't tell you this on the rundown, but we do need to begin the podcast with just a tribute, pouring one out to Mr. Ed Podolak, who is retiring from the Iowa radio football booth.
Pun intended.
An absolute legend. You know, Matt, what is your, I gotta ask you, what is your favorite Ed Podolak memory?
Where do you start? It's gotta be his bowl game shenanigans, right? It just has to be.
I think we're both thinking about the picture. And
I think so.
If you know, you know. Is that real? Is that an actual picture? Or was that like Photoshopped?
No, that's a real picture, Keeney. That was from one of the 75 bowl trips they've taken to Orlando from their Hawkeye huddle. Very real picture, which I think sort of encapsulate. There's other things we get into. You know, OG Wide Right wrote an article about Frogger that, you know, in today's day and age, You probably can't write that article. At the time, it was, you know, chef's kiss, sheer brilliance. So
I was thinking about that a little bit. There's probably a lot of ways that you could tackle that we just can't do anymore, just in this climate.
Yeah, you know, things that just you're not supposed to talk about these days, you know?
Yeah, I guess. But no, I love knowing that picture is a real picture now. I honestly thought it could have been Photoshopped. I'm almost certain it was staged to some level, but
like to think it wasn't staged. Someone just like, you know, candidly caught it. And if that's the case, you know, just 10 out of 10, no notes for me.
All right. Well, Ed, happy retirement. It
was truly a privilege to listen to you,
you know, work your way through a 3-yard run at 11:15 a.m. You know, when I'm trying to settle into a Saturday. So,
yeah, I did. You know, got lots of enjoyment. You know, listening when I was on the radio. You know, Ed's oh no, and hearing him kind of maybe be a little late to a play occasionally. Always good fun. However, he is a legend, and he did have he was a very very good NFL player. So we all in good jest. We do wish him the best in retirement, and it'll be interesting to see who I can turn into hate listen to next on their airwaves.
Yeah, rest assured, listeners, whoever they do hire will be hated by the Lightcast. Let's say that. One would say Ed Podolak is entering the transfer portal into another part of his
career,
life. I don't know. That's the only way you could think to segue into.
It's a great segue. Everyone's in the portal.
That's my first big topic, you know, portal madness, I guess. I want to talk about Iowa State men and portal I want to talk about Iowa State women.
Portal combat. Warfare. Call of Duty Portal Warfare 2.
Jeff Goodman might
sue me. Know, will he sue us? Will this get aggregated?
How do you look in orange? I think that's what he said to that one DePaul fan or something.
the DePaul documentary. How do you look in orange? That's
yeah.
right. What was the best Call of Duty, by the way? Was it Modern Warfare 2?
Oh, whatever one had the zombie hunting game that we just played hours and hours
World
in college.
World at War. That's right.
Yeah. Portal Madness. CC Jeff Goodman. Hat tip to you, my friend.
That's right.
Friend of the podcast, Jeff Goodman, I think. So,
Matt, I like to think.
Everybody's in the transfer portal. I want to talk about Iowa State men's basketball. I want to talk about Iowa State women's basketball. Take your pick. Which one do you want to cover first?
Do we start women's first?
We can do that. Yep. Yeah, it's probably the most topical because they picked up two commitments in the last 2 days.
Let's do it.
So, I guess we can kind of go back. You know, we get out of that game against Stanford. We're all bummed, but we're all, like, really excited about the future. And then a couple days later, Jalen Bristow transfers away, someone who probably would have started next year.
Yeah, that was a tough loss, wasn't it? But I'm assuming, Keeney, that ultimately at the end of the day, right, it came down to minutes?
I don't see... I don't know about that one because she was getting she played really, really well against Stanford in the NCAA tournament. And I think, like I said, was definitely going to be in the mix to start next year. So it could have been a situation where, you know, Fennelly said, hey, we're looking for more experience in the portal. You know, we might recruit someone who will play over you. So this is just kind of an FYI. I think she did end up committing to somewhere. Texas Tech, I want to say. So something like that. Staying in the Big 12. But yeah, that was a loss. That was someone who I think definitely could have made an impact. Nymir Dew also transferred. That was one that I think was expected. She took part in senior day this year, and I think there was an expectation that she was just going to be done, but she had an extra year of eligibility. She went to Colorado. I mean, that's someone who's played a lot of games for you, but I think the big news now is that those losses in the portal have been supplanted by incoming talent. So,
right.
Sydney Harris coming to Iowa State from TCU. That's an in-conference transfer. 3-point shooter. I think that's probably the main headline. 40% 3-point shooter, averaged like 9 points a game at TCU last year. I got to be honest, didn't catch a ton of TCU women's basketball, especially after half their team got injured and they had to forfeit a couple games.
No, Keen Dog, I don't think they were very watchable this year. Is that a nice way to say it?
I don't, you know, they were until everybody got hurt. So it's not totally fair to say that. But
it might still be fair, but your point's taken.
That is one that I'll happily look at the stat line and extrapolate that to, okay, this is someone who can shoot the basketball and is going to play on the perimeter where Audie Crooks takes up a ton of attention on the inside. So plenty of open shots to go around. Have to imagine that was a pretty appealing recruiting pitch from Bill Fennelly is, hey, do you want to take a lot of open threes? Because we've got them to offer.
How do open three sound? How would you like to learn to speak open threes? How does that sound?
Sounds, if I was a better shooter, I would definitely consider taking that offer, personally. Old man game isn't quite where it needs to be yet.
Yours is not, but will you at least draw charges?
No, I will not do that. I'll play defense a little bit. I can distribute, and I can find someone to guard that we both might agree to just take it easy on each other when we get tired.
Oh, isn't that the dream? They're just like, you know what? Let's just walk it back.
Yeah, you know, we'll take it easy this time down.
Did you ever draw a charge in intramural ball? I did one time.
I never tried, and I knew the refs would never call it because I was a ref. And if I saw that, I'd be like, come on.
You were. So the funny thing is, heck, maybe you were the ref. I took one and the ref called it, but he afterwards, Keeney, this is a true story. He literally looked at me and goes, come on, man.
I mean, yeah.
It's a true story.
Respect. Respect to that guy. I don't think, maybe it was me. I don't know. But respect to that ref for calling it out, because
he was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
We're not out here taking charges. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I keep sidetracking us.
Yes. Sydney Harris, 9 points a game, 40% 3-point shooter coming to Iowa State from TCU.
Yeah. So we're talking about TCU being stinky poopy.
Yeah. Especially, well, I mean, they,
got, I mean, everyone got hurt, right?
So
they were having open tryouts, which, you know, Iowa State, the men's team went through that with Fred Hoiberg, right? So we know how that feels.
I'll tell you, TCU women's hoops next year is going to be pretty good, though. They got, what's her name? Sedona Prince, I think is her name. Yes. Coming back to use extra eligibility, Van Lith from the portal coming in. So,
I didn't hear that Van Lith was going there. Okay, good for them.
It'll be a fun game. I hope they get. I hope they come up to Ames for a game. That'd be kind of fun. Today, though, Monday, as we record this, Mackenzie Hare from Marquette also commits to Iowa State. Another good 3-point shooter, 42.5% from three last year at Marquette. So playing in the Big East, playing in a good conference.
That's right.
That is an attention grabber. And she scored like 14 points a game too. Like, you know, put up really good numbers for a Marquette team.
Yeah. And Kenny, from what I had read, right, this is interesting. She did not start the season in their starting lineup. She was a bench player. By the end of the year had not only, you know, earned major minutes, but was like one of the top players in that entire league and became, you know, one of the most dangerous off-ball scorers in the league. So pretty impressive for someone who, you know, was not getting a lot of minutes to start the season. And is now a good time for a stat?
It's always a good time for a stat.
You know me, a stats, you know, the Wide Right Stats and Information Department. I think it was Jamie Steyer, posted this on Twitter. There were only, like, I want to say it was 10 shooters above 40% on the season, and 7 of them entered the portal, and 2 of those 7 have now committed to Iowa State.
Oh man, that is so good.
It's a great stat.
We're like seven months away from the next season too. That's too bad. I'm like jazzed up for basketball, like on all parts right now, and it's April 22nd. This isn't how things are supposed to go, Matt.
No, and let's get greedy, right? They probably still need another backup big. I mean, Audi can rebound and play down low. Addie can, obviously. Obviously, Audi's a forward, but they could still maybe use one more person to provide some depth. I'm assuming they're not done. I know they had
scholarships to give out, yeah.
And they had like 4 targets on campus, so we're pretty positive that they will continue to hit the portal. So I'll be interested to see, who they end up getting.
Yeah, I definitely think there's room for another backup big. Natabu, I cannot remember her first name. Also another transfer out. She played a little bit, but I think kind of clear that Iowa State needed to upgrade in that spot.
Yeah, she was more in that backup role, but was still, you know, a solid player when she got in, but really saw pretty limited minutes.
Yeah. In general, though, yeah, I think we need one more backup big, but the philosophy here seems pretty clear. And I'm going to hat tip to David Braga from Wide Right, who pointed out that outside of Adi, who doesn't shoot a lot of threes, you know, she shot like 31% from three last year.
Right.
The worst, quote unquote, worst 3-point shooter is on. 3-point shooters coming back next year are Kelsey Jones and Addie Brown, and they both shot like 38% from three last year. So Audie Crooks, dominant post presence, surround her with as much quality 3-point shooting as you can find. I think Iowa State's offense next year is set up to be pretty dang elite.
I mean, I would have to agree that doesn't even seem like a stretch, right? Like that, not that they'll be good, that they'll be elite. And the shooting, right, was what was probably sorely needed. And I've always felt in the past, right, like we've had all kinds of shooting and size has been the issue. And I think as long as they can find, you know, a backup big, I mean, they'll really check all the boxes between good on ball defender and distributor and Emily Ryan. You know, Kelsey Jones is going to be an absolute menace defensively as well. And I just think with that shooting that you have, the dynamic bigs, I don't know how you are going to prep for this team. And the other encouraging thing, right, is the way that the Addy and Audi pass. They're not just, you know, I'm going to, you know, take up space and not be able to, you know, throw the ball back out when the double team comes. They are both willing passers and good passers, and that's going to really unlock this team.
Yeah, Matt, I think you made a great point there that we've always kind of been missing one element of it. We've had great shooting, but not good enough post play. We've had good post play, but not enough shooting.
Yes.
This might be the best mix that we've ever seen, at least that I can remember for a basketball team. And this could be a legitimate, like they're going to be a legitimate preseason top 10 team now.
I think we thought we had it with Suarez, right? But that was one player and, you know, she ended up getting hurt, obviously. Which derailed that season. So
that's
true. I would say, you know, but top to bottom, probably the most balance, not just, you know, balance that they've had, but compliments to, again, you finally have the good inside play. Now you pair it with the good outside play.
That's true. I forgot about Suarez because, you know, that's just kind of cut short. Didn't get to see the full experience there, but
still a lot of pain with that one.
The women are looking great for next year, and I hope that as Iowans, we can all agree that we should get behind this team. It'd be great for the state for them to be a really good team next year.
It'd be great for the game, Keeney.
Yeah, it would probably grow the game a little bit, I got to say.
I think it'll grow it.
Yeah, Audie's a good personality. You know, that's someone that you can get behind. It's, you know, impossible to hate, I would say.
That's right.
If you hate them, you have a problem.
I'm glad we're on the same page here, Keeney, really.
Yeah. You know what else would be good for the state is the Iowa State men being elite next year, which
somebody's got to be.
You know what? Somebody in the state has to be. Yeah. The men are looking pretty good, too, as we enter the portal era. Basically, the transfers out, maybe besides Omaha Blue, who maybe would have been in line to play more next year. All guys from the back of the bench, you know, freshmen that came in that just couldn't crack the rotation. It's pretty clear where Iowa State's philosophy is on roster building on the men's side with TJ Otzelberger at this point. But the guys coming in, this is where there's the most excitement. So Chatfield from Seattle.
Branton,
yeah. Deshaun Jackson from Charlotte, which happened still during the NCAA tournament. I kind of forget that happened. 6'11 big, Chatfield's like a 6'8, just like a wing that, you know, kind of do a little bit of stuff. But
That was amazing, by the way, that happening during the tournament. Talk about get you a guy that can do both.
Especially for a position of need next year. And then Nate Heisey, that's right, from UNI, who I think was their leading scorer last year and shoots in the high 30s from three. So
the Heiseyman, good cutter. Yeah. Good defender. Checks the boxes.
That's right.
So I think we're almost complete. There's probably one more name. I'm comfortable saying it publicly because I heard other people say it publicly. That Joshua Jefferson, who's transferring from St. Mary's, averaged like 10 points and 7 rebounds a game for them last year. On a fraudulent St. Mary's team, I would say. But also, wow. I mean, he's a good player. St. Mary's is my perpetual fraud that I just fade in the NCAA tournament every year.
Yeah, Keeney, I had them in the Elite Eight, and then after listening to you on this podcast, I had them getting upset, and it was the right call. You're right. They're frauds.
Yeah. At least that team was. Joshua Jefferson, I'll take back every mean thing I said about St. Mary's for him to come to Iowa State. He got crystal balled to us. Just another athletic wing. Can play defense. I don't know what kind of shooter he is, but like TJ's got
he's a good shooter. He's unique. He's a good shooter. He's a good rebounder, right, at 6'9". Kenny, stats and info department, actually did some research on his game today. And he has, as I think the kids say, NBA tape. Is that what the kids say?
I've never heard it, but I'm not one of the kids.
Okay, pro level tape. He, especially late in the season this year, made some moves that show that he's got a possible pro level game. And I'm not trying to hype up something where hype doesn't exist, but at his size, with the way that he shoots, he's very versatile, right? He's I would describe as a stretch four, Melvin Edgem esque. Maybe that's not the best comp because he's bigger, right? He's not kind of a tweener wing like Edgem was, but I would describe Red as a pretty true stretch four that I think is going to really add some, you know, much needed versatility, shot making. I think he's going to rebound. So a lot of really good things on the table from him. And I think they, I don't know. Part of me feels like maybe they still need one more big body, but man, They're clearly trying to find more spacing, right? I think they saw how teams guarded them, how Illinois guarded them, right? Which is, we are going to just sag off of these posts. It's what they used to do to Lipsy, right? But they started doing it to our bigs, which I totally understand it. Our bigs were good, but you know, Trey could be effective sometimes in that mid-range game, but it wasn't something that we saw consistently. So clearly they're trying to, you know, elevate that part of the offense and just make them harder to guard. And I think, you know, Jefferson, if that is the case, he does commit, will really give them that option.
Yeah. So when you combine that with, we talked about this with the women, with all the returning talent, but the men, Taman Lipsy comes back, Keyshawn Gilbert comes back, Curtis Jones comes back, Milan Momchilovic comes back. Like, TJ, you know, this is something that we've talked about a little bit with the transfer portal being what it is. Iowa State under TJ Otzelberger is kind of in an incredible place where, as much as you can have it, there's roster continuity here. We've had guys that are around for a couple of years, and then usually a senior or two transfer that comes in to sort of round out the right rotation. And, you know, we've got maybe more names. There's only so many minutes to go around, so I'm wondering, like, which one of these guys is going to be the Pavelski that just doesn't play as much as maybe they expect when they come here. But this is going to be a really good roster, really good players led by guys who have been in the program for a couple years. And that's not something that a lot of these programs can say.
For sure. I mean, you've got, just think about it for a second. You have, you know, your four leading scorers, Watson back as a really nice player off the bench. And you've got JT Rock, who was on, you know, this past year. So you really have a lot to work with. You do. And I what impresses me the most about what he's done, Keeney, is there's clearly a plan, right? Like, they know kind of how they want this roster to look. They've been able to keep players where a lot of other schools have not, to maintain that continuity. But it's not just like, you know, oh, we got to get in the portal and grab, you know, just a body, right? Like, got to get someone in here, need to fill roster spots. They have, seems to me like they have a very clear idea of who they want to go after. They're not, you know, panicked by anything. They seem very, very prepared. And I think that's hard to do in this day and age, right, with the portal and all the chaos that it brings. Yet when you look at what they've done, it really seems like they're, you know, they're ready for all this.
It's almost always
as ready as you can be.
It's almost always these mid-major guys too that are like ready to take a step up. So like Deshaun Jackson is from Charlotte. He played at Charlotte. Nate Heisey from UNI. Branton Chatfield from Seattle. Joshua Jefferson from St. Mary's. These guys that aren't going to come in and think like, you know, I got $500,000 to come here and I'm going to score 20 points a game and, like, you know, put on some really good tape for the next level. No, they have found guys that are going to fit the program and, you know, play their role, play defense, you know, find their spots to make an impact. They don't care if they score 25 points one game and 2 points the next. So in general, that's where things have gone. I don't have any reason to believe that this next crop of guys is going to be any different.
Nope. I would agree wholeheartedly. And Jackson, I think, is really just a huge part of what they're, you know, what they're trying to do here. He's He's big. He can shoot from 15 feet. He blocks shots. He was really good at Charlotte. And I know it's Charlotte Kenny, but that league is not, this is not the jump that you're going to see from one of these bigger leagues. You know, the AAC still got, you know, has some pretty decent hoops. It's going to be more translatable than someone coming from the WAC, right? Or the SWAC or the MAC. I was just trying to rhyme all those together. Actually, that's really all I was trying to do there. But see what I mean? Like,
what about the MAAC, the MAAC?
Oh, or the MEAC, the MEAC. We could do this all day. I mean, they've done a really good job. Keeney, do they bank that last scholarship? Do they try to fill it?
So I mean, I have no idea. If you ask me, I would say bank it. Or honestly, put someone like Conrad Holly on scholarship. Like, we've got, for the most part, our minutes filled in theory, right? Unless someone gets hurt,
you can't really predict that.
We've got like 9 or 10 guys that are capable of playing next year. So do you really need to chase that one more guy? Cause you're not going to play 11 guys at the end of the season.
No, let's think through the rotation, right? So you've got 5 guards, right? For it, kind of in those 3 spots, Momchilovic and Jefferson kind of probably, take up the three to four spot. I'm guessing you probably start them both, right? Probably Momchilovic at the 3. If Jefferson commits at the 4, Jackson at the 5, that gives you, Rock and Chatfield as backups there, and they'll both play. We expect JT Rock to play coming off his red shirt. So there's 8 bodies. You've got Watson who's going to play as well, right? Being the 9th. So, that's 9 players right there without any other freshmen playing, right? Without any other guys impacting the floor. So, oh, wait a second. We're off one. Yeah. You got to add Heisey. Heisey would be the 10th. So,
and Noyes, I cannot pronounce his last name.
Oh my gosh. Coming in.
There's so much talent on this team.
Andrusitis, I think is how you say it.
There is so much talent on this team.
They're in a great spot, and it's because they have a good head coach, right? And good coaching staff. And also, like, unless something changes, Kenny, they kept that staff intact, which that is only going to get harder. I sense this may be the last year that happens.
Well, if you have one more, like, great year, where objectively last year was a great year for the men's basketball team. Disappointing that you only made it to the Sweet 16, but, like, you finished the year in the top 10 of the final AP poll. You won the Big 12 tournament. You were ranked in the top 5 at the end of the regular season. You know, you were an awesome, awesome basketball team last year. You do that for one more year, yeah, your assistants are going to start getting plucked for head coaching jobs.
Yeah, and right. Great season. But also, relative to expectations, I know Jamie Pollard said it and he caught some flag for it, but I thought we would be a tournament team. But look at where the league's coaches picked us. League coaches aren't dumb. Did anybody think realistically that we would be like one of the best 5 teams in the country at the end of the season? I'll tell you, at least it was not on my radar. So now picture, right, what we've done over these last 3 seasons, right, and apply that to a team with, I mean, top 10 hype. If you want to look at predictive Bart Torvik, number 1 team in the country, Kenny.
Yeah, they'll start the next year. I mean, you can't say it because it's, it's April. A lot of roster movement still going to happen. This is easily a top 10 team in the country to start the year next year.
Correct. Yep. And the league will still be good. Like, Baylor's been snatching good players. Kansas
is going. Kansas is breaking the NIL budget on it.
Kansas is inevitable when it comes to NIL. And Houston's bringing a lot back, right? So you will have teams that want to challenge, but it's the Big 12, right? You knew that was going to exist anyway. They're going to be in good shape, but I think it's just good for the league, right? That the league's going to have just a ton coming back.
Kind of a hot take about the Big 12 next year. I already have a hot take.
I love it.
I think Arizona's going to struggle a lot.
Ooh.
You watch them get bullied in the NCAA tournament every year. You know, they play a physical team and they lose. And if I know anything about Big 12 basketball, it's physical. Way more than the Pac-12 was.
Yeah, they really have not fared well in tournaments, have they?
No, I mean, they just kind of got pushed around a little bit by whoever beat them, like Clemson.
Yeah.
Whoever, you know, who beat them this year, lost to a 15 seed. Like, yes, Arizona's a very good basketball program. I got a lot of respect for them, but I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening. I know we said that about Houston, but they had a play style that fit. Arizona doesn't. Right.
Yeah, we did say it about Houston, and we were definitely
we were very wrong there.
We were very wrong. I wish we would have been right, but we were very wrong. But I tend to agree with your point. Absolutely.
I like it.
All right. Well, Arizona Fraud Watch in April. They'll probably
full on the Fraud Watch.
They'll probably go spend a couple $1 million and find a way to field the top, you know, 15 team next year, because that's what you do. But
will BYU be back?
No.
I don't think so either.
How about that? Lost their coach after 1 year. 1 year in the Big 12. To Kentucky. Who would have thought? Anyway, I don't know.
College basketball is wild.
I mean, do you have any other, like, just general portal thoughts around the country? Or I'm ready to move on to spring football, whatever you are.
Yeah, portal's crazy. I don't love it. There's good and bad, right, guys? That, like, my wife and I had a lengthy conversation about this, because that's just, I don't know, that's what we do. Like, there's good and bad about it. It's good that some of these players, right, can go find a place to transfer down and get a lot more playing time. But then you see, you know, the opportunity that exists for players who do stay and stick it out. And you're like, man, like, do we really need this much transferring? And I have a hard time believing that we do. But that's just my opinion.
No, it's, I mean, I don't have any problem saying it. I think it's awful that it's just unlimited free agency every year. And you know, there's plenty of tampering going on with guys that probably don't have any intention of transferring, but there's no penalty for it. And, you know, someone could,
well,
I'll give you $500 if you put your name in the portal. I'm like, okay, well, sure. You could be very happy where you are, but
a box Cracker Jacks if you put your name in the portal.
You know,
back of the peanuts.
Go get your get your big paycheck, even if you didn't plan on transferring in the first place. So,
right.
I don't know. I said that's why I really like where Iowa State is in the world of the portal, and just sort of maintaining as much continuity as you can, and then just kind of filling out your roster with these transfers instead of like, well, we really need someone who's going to, I know it's kind of weird saying this because like Isaiah Brockington is this for us, but I don't think we expected him to be, but like, well, we need someone to come in and, you know, be our leading scorer and needs to come in and play at an all conference level if we're going to be successful. Well, that's not necessarily the case for Iowa State.
No. And how much more fun is it to not have to bank on that, right? Someone that you don't know you're going to get. And none of us knew that IZB was going to impact the team the way that he did. He was incredible. No, but we had not really seen that previously. So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun couple of years.
This movement's still going on all over the place. And like by May 1st, I think Iowa State's going to be done. You know, we know exactly who's going to be on the team. That's a nice feeling. Then you can just like put men's basketball on the back burner for like 6 months. Because you don't have to worry about like you're losing guys out of nowhere.
Correct. So,
spring football. Matt, did you go to the spring game?
It was too cold for me to take the kiddos, so I sat that one out.
Do you have any thoughts on the spring game at all? Apparently it wasn't really a game. I didn't go. I have kind of a general take about spring football that I think we can go ahead and hash out a little bit. But I guess I want to get your thoughts on maybe anything that you saw from over the weekend first.
Did not go. I think it's interesting that like Matt Campbell refuses to play like a traditional spring game. I get why he doesn't want to. Obviously, like you don't want to get guys hurt, et cetera, et cetera. You would feel like though, like as a coach, there maybe still be some value in something like that. Evidently, Matt's like, no, nah, man, I'm just out on it. So I think that's interesting.
I mean, like Rocco Beck not playing, you know, Rocco Beck doesn't need to play in a spring game to prove anything.
No, I'm actually glad they didn't play. I didn't think they needed to.
Okay. But yeah, I guess it was more of like an open showcase for
the freshmen, the guys that are coming in, the guys that didn't play much last year. Like, I saw J.J. Cole and Connor Mulberley took all the reps at quarterback. Some running back, Dylan Lee, I guess is the name, had a big run or something. What does that mean? You know, I saw some clips. I'm like, are the defensive guys even trying that hard?
Respect on Dylan Lee's name.
Well, I guess he was like, the MVP of the spring game or something, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I think. I don't know what to think, Kenny. Like, it's nice that you hear it. You know, it always gets people excited. You heard some positive things about some players, young guys that you're maybe not as familiar with. But like, you know, what does it really mean in the grand scheme of things? Who really knows?
I guess maybe this gets into what I think about spring football is that we didn't do a spring game for a while. Why do we, is it even necessary? I would be fine if we didn't play a spring game, you know, quote unquote game at all at this point.
Just, or just,
yeah, you know, okay. You want to have a practice and you want to invite fans to come watch it, whatever, but it's not a game. It doesn't mean anything. I think it's laughable when like television networks are going to put spring football games on TV. Like, hey, if you're really bored, we can show you the Auburn spring game if you need something else to watch other than like the literal NBA playoffs or something. But
always makes me giggle. It's like, who really wants to watch this?
Yeah,
You
got nothing for me. Iowa State doesn't even televise theirs or, you know, really do anything to distribute it. So I don't know. I'm just down on spring football as a concept at this point.
I do love that ESPN's got like, oh, yeah, we got the Michigan spring game on. Great. Terrific.
Yeah. Bunch of guys are going to transfer in 2 weeks and, you know, we're never going to play anyway.
Gabe Burkel could be a dog. That's exciting. Tight end. I think it's still useful to watch like corner depth, trying to figure all those things out. But I don't know, like Alec over at 24/7's had a great write-up about it. Just kind of reading through his, really just looking into a lot of backups. You weren't going to see a whole lot. Dylan Lee being good is exciting though. Highly touted prospect who did, play in the Army All-Star All-American game and looks really promising. Benny Nagoya as a backup wide receiver, someone you definitely need. You're going to need some big things out of. So it's nice to hear that some of those players were the ones that were playing well.
Yeah, I mean, those were the only guys that were playing, I guess. So I don't know. I'm glad people played well. I'm glad fans have something to be excited about. For me, yeah, I just kind of out on spring football. You know, I don't know if that's, I mean, yeah, a great, great podcast topic for an Iowa State podcast. Like, who cares about football at this point? But, and I'll admit, like, it may not be a popular take. It's just game. I'd be fine if we didn't do a spring game anymore. It used to be. It was like the end of Visha, and this is just like something to get excited about. The weather's always terrible. Nobody goes. It's not even a game.
Kenny, I love that you're just like, you know what? No one talked, like, don't talk to me about football hype until like August.
Yeah. And that's the other,
I do love that energy from you.
Okay. You know, Dylan Lee is a freshman running back who might contribute. Is he going to steal carries from Abu Sama and all the other running backs? Probably not.
No, probably not.
So, like, cool, you know, there's a name that I'll remember for maybe, like, a year from now if he doesn't transfer, but, you know, it's kind of what it is.
Cynical Keeney, I love it.
Yeah, I'm super cynical right now about this one topic in particular. Maybe it's just because I'm, like, you know, you can kind of save me the hype of, like, I'm sure the offensive line looked great in the spring game, you know. Talk to me when we go 3-and-out against North Dakota with 3 runs in our first game.
Hey. Yeah, actually, that's fair. That sounds like something I would say, actually.
I know. Matt, I gotta ask, any interest in the PA job that was available for the football team? They were hiring?
I did. I've actually been, like, sent that by multiple people who were like, hey, have you thought about this? Like, this would be hilarious. I don't know. Should I just, you know, like a light cast thing?
I'm thinking about like just the first time the defense gives up a first down of any kind, and you're just on the mic like, fucking John Heacock, fucking professor, this guy.
Just swear. And so everyone swears they love the professor. What do you think about him?
I just want to hear Matt talk about the professor on the PA system in an official role for Iowa State. You would get fired by the end of the first quarter of the first game, but it would be so funny.
Scream professor into the void.
it'd be awesome. Yeah.
It'd be extremely on brand for me, really.
It would be. It'd be pretty great. So that, I don't know. That was my spring football take. I wanted to make sure I got it out into the world that I'm out on it. You know, unless something radical happens to make it mean something again, I'm just out on it. I saw we had multiple guys that I didn't even know were on the team that hit the portal like an hour after the spring game ended. I'm like, okay, cool.
You don't want to make spring football great again?
I would love for it to mean something. And I don't, you know, I don't have anything against the fans that get excited about it or, you know, want to care about it. I can't be compelled to do it right now.
That's, you know what? That's fair. I understand and respect that take.
Maybe that's not hot. Maybe I need to be like, hey, if you care about the spring game, then you know you're a loser. Or just like,
now that's a little hotter.
I got to go way over the top the other way. I got to get the people talking. So there you go.
Piss the people off. That's what they want.
Yeah. I don't actually think that, but if I want to get a lot of downloads on this episode, maybe I put that in like the podcast title.
Keeney roasts all spring game lovers.
If you, yeah, new episode. If you love the spring game, you suck.
You suck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
What else? All right. Well, I got
nothing else on spring.
Not really. I mean, I want to talk about the NFL draft because it's this week. And I think the Vikings have been the most talked about team in the lead up to it. And just are they going to do? Are you ready to learn J.J. McCarthy?
Are you ready to learn handoff merchant?
Can you be talked into J.J. McCarthy?
I don't want to be. I probably can be. But I'm not necessarily thrilled about it.
Are you even a little bit J.J. McCarthy curious?
Not really, no. I mean, like, he had everything handed to him in Michigan. Everyone, like, says, oh, he's a winner, like, blah, 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 all this stuff. Keeney, I don't know that I feel it. And if I can get Drake May, I'm super happy. Like, I think it's going to be exciting either way. It's exciting when you take a franchise quarterback. But is it bad that I'm not sold on him?
No, I think it's perfectly fair, honestly. Okay, so Drake May, I was going to ask, is there a trade up for a quarterback that the Vikings could make that would get you excited? So Drake May is the guy. That's who you want to go get?
That's who it sounds like. Oh, that's who it sounds like my head coach wants. And my head coach is, you know, pretty good with quarterbacks. So anyway, I don't know. I trust him. And if that's what he wants.
You can't have my guy.
You can't have your guy.
Can I tell you, I am so excited to be just like the biggest Caleb Williams defender in the world.
The best Caleb Williams. It's you, huge Caleb Williams fan.
I actually do have legitimate excitement about Caleb Williams being my quarterback. I've had months to know, like, this is who the Bears are taking, so I can talk myself into it. But like, legitimately, I'm thrilled that the Bears are going to do this. And like, they get to pick, you know, the consensus number one guy for once.
You're jacked to the tits.
And he's coming into a good situation. Like, you know what? If he wins football games, I'll paint my nails for him. You know, it's like, I'm that excited about it.
You are all the way in on Caleb Williams.
I am. I think he's going to be good. And
he does seem twitchy and generational and elusive. And those types of quarterbacks are usually the ones that you want.
he holds the ball too long. That's the only thing. And that was the problem with Justin Fields too. He wouldn't get rid of the ball, but like Fields stood in the pocket forever. Caleb Williams will like run around to try and make a play. And that's why he holds onto the ball. But I think
even if it only gives you like 5 years of fun, it's still, you know,
five years. If I get five great years of quarterback play, sign me up right now. I don't even care. But when you consider he's going to be throwing to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen
and Cole Kmet,
we've got a decent running back signed, DeAndre Swift. Like that's a good NFL level running back. You know, like he'll get picked in fantasy drafts and stuff. The defense was good to end last year. We've got the ninth pick in the draft that we can use for either another receiver or a good offensive lineman or a pass rusher. So like, it's not just that we're getting Caleb Williams. And like, the Bears were not good last year, but they didn't absolutely suck. You know, we're not picking a quarterback at number one and just kind of hoping for, you know, just like a miracle that we can be good right away. There's a realistic chance the Bears could be good next year. And that's exciting.
Yeah, because their roster is in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
As much as we like to make fun of the Bears. Their roster
me included, as a Bears fan, I love making fun of the Bears. They're a loser franchise, and I'm a loser for cheering for them. But Caleb Williams could make me a winner, and I'm ready to take that chance.
Yeah, but they're your losers, Keeney.
I'm really excited to see what they do with the ninth pick as well. Like, as long as they pick either an offensive lineman or a receiver, I feel like they can't go wrong.
I agree. I do also foresee bad things happening to the Vikings here. They should have a chance to get a good pick. There are wild cards, Keeney, that they don't control, and that's scary, right? They, like, the Broncos or the Raiders, and then, like, you know, these teams that everyone just, like, especially I've seen it from Vikings fans a lot, Keeney. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll, you know, people want to trade with us, no problem. Someone's going to have to want to work with them. And it's whether I don't know if it's fake news or not, right? Like it could just be some good old fashioned Harbaugh gamesmanship. But like everyone's like, oh yeah, the Chargers will trade with you. I'm not so certain. Like, I mean, there's reports coming out right now saying that Harbaugh doesn't want to do that. Those are most likely something leaked, right? Like that happens. I don't know. What do you think? To me, it seems like there's a real chance that he doesn't want to help him. The Vikings did pass on him, right? Like. I don't know. I get weird vibes that, you know, it's probably the Patriots if it's anybody because O'Connell has a connection there. But if you're the Patriots, why wouldn't you take a quarterback there? Are you saying that franchise would rather go all the way back to 11 and miss out on this year? I just find I have a hard time believing that.
I love draft week season too. Like for a while it was Caleb Williams will refuse to play for the Bears. And it was, can you draft
unfollowed everyone? Yeah, that's right.
Can you draft a guy that paints his nails and, you know, cried with his family after losing a big game? And then it's Washington is going to take Jaden Daniels and they're going to take Drake May. And hey, they might actually take JJ McCarthy. You never know. And then it's like the Vikings are going to trade up to 3. No, the Vikings are going to trade up to 5. No, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. might not be the first receiver picked or something. Like it's draft league season is so much fun. Almost every rumor is almost definitely just like total crap. If the trade is there and the Chargers like what they're getting in return, they will trade with the Vikings because they're not taking a quarterback. So, you know, they need good players. They can afford to pick up the extra picks for it. And the Vikings have picks to trade away.
They do have picks to trade away. What would be great for me selfishly is that, you know, Roger Goodell, Hilton, the Falcons with that good old fashioned pick swap. That would be stellar. I would love that. That would also actually like really help the Vikings move up to 3. It's a lot easier to do that to send someone back to 8 than all the way back to 11. So you got to keep an eye on that, Keeney. They said sometime in the next couple of days, you'll probably hear an answer. Boy, wouldn't that be funny?
Turkey
boy getting tampered with.
That would be.
Right?
2 days before the draft. Hey, by the way, you're losing your pick. Or you have to move back like
five spots for reasons. We just kind of made it up.
I can't figure out if they will actually send him all the way back that far in a swap, or if they'll, you know, try to be a little bit more humane. I think there is a pick swap coming. I think it sounds like they basically admitted, like, yep, we tampered. So, like, that seems inevitable. It's just a question of what does that swap actually look like?
Or how you could amazing. Just, like, you could just, like, stay at 11 and pick Michael Penix or something.
Okay, but you laugh, and Vikings fans would probably be apoplectic if that happens, but I'm telling you, a team has got to want to trade with them. It's possible that one doesn't, and they end up having to stay put and pick at 11.
I'm guessing if they
the first round pick next year will probably do it.
Yeah, if they really, really, really want to trade up, they will get desperate and trade more picks. So it'll happen.
Yeah, I would love. It was nice early on when it felt like McCarthy might fall to 11, but it's not going to happen. So I also love seeing, like, the teams that are hopelessly bad. You know, like how are the Raiders going to screw this one up? Like, sorry, Raiders fans. Like, it's always fun to you know, watch those other interesting things play out. I don't think we'll ever get another gas mask bong video leak the night of the draft, though. I think we're out on those.
Yeah, I think we're out. No, the Bears are normally the team that, like, I'm waiting to see how they screw it up. They'll trade extra picks to go from 3 to 2 to pick Mitch Trubisky, who no one was going to take at the second pick anyway. Or, you know, like, it's almost impossible to screw up when you have the first pick, because there's almost always a consensus number one guy. Now, right. he might be a bust or whatever, but, like, there's no questioning making the pick at the time of it. You know, you can't, like they're not going to go out there and pick Drake May at number one just for no reason at all. So in that sense, we are going to do the draft correctly. And what happens from there is all on the coaching staff and Caleb and, you know, him making sure that he gets the job done.
Boy, that'd be a funny Onion article. Like, I can't wait to see how they screw this up, man says to his favorite team before a sporting event he's really excited about.
I'd retweet that headline. I've lived it for, like, most of my life.
Right? Haven't we all?
Yeah. What else we got, Matt? I mean, those are the big things on my list. Are you a Timberwolves guy? Do you got Wolf Fever?
Well, Wolves are back. Wolves back, as we say. I've got the Fever. It's fun that they're winning games. You know, winning another playoff series would be really nice. Again, that sounds like mega poverty, which for me, you know, you just got to understand this is the Wolves we're talking about here. But yes, winning a playoff series would be so nice. And the way they defend most times, they're like in my opinion, like a legitimate threat. Like, they really guard, and that's what makes it fun. Are they going to win, like, the Western Conference? I don't think so.
We
got to
get
to the conference. I think they can possibly get to the conference finals.
I think they can beat the Suns. I don't think they can beat the Nuggets in the second round. The thing is,
they had a good regular season record, but you never know in the playoffs, right? Like, Jokic probably just presses the nuclear button and then they're just toast. You know, that's probably how that happens.
You got to have a guy, and I think Ant Edwards is a guy.
I'd agree.
Very cool if you're a Timberwolves fan.
He's a certified dude.
Yep. NHL, I mean, do you have a team without, like, are you following any of that without the Wild in it this year?
Not really. It's tough. I do think the matchups are electric. Like, Avs Jets is going to be a high scoring Big Ten game every night. Kenny, I'm really in on Panthers Lightning. What a series. With, you know, the way the Lightning have played, and then, you know, the Panthers, you know, the Panthers do not like them. Neither team likes each other. And Florida's actually been really good for a number of years and hasn't broken through. So I think that's a juicy, juicy first round series. What about you? Anything on your radar?
Can I interest you in gambling on hockey?
Ooh, I don't do that often, but I could be interested.
So last year I just decided, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna pick a team at the start of the playoffs and just kind of see if they can win the Stanley Cup. And I picked Vegas. So I actually hit a future bet on Vegas last year. So I'm trying to win back-to-back cups. I picked the Boston Bruins this year at 11-1. I thought, you know what? The year after what was supposed to be the year, let's go. They're motivated. They lost to the Maple Leafs tonight, so they're tied at 1-1. But, you know, for the next couple weeks, I'm just going to be a Boston Bruins guy. I thought about, like, what if I just became really obnoxious about the Bruins online? But I don't know if I have what it takes.
Their fans aren't obnoxious at all, Keeney. I could see that going over really well.
Yeah, like if I just like really out of nowhere get into the Boston Bruins and with no context for anybody else.
Again, positive. Their fans will love it. What about, I mean, do we cheer for something good to finally happen to the Leafs in the playoffs? You're clearly not going to. Do we just continue to root for more first round misery for them? Is that the move?
I think it's just way more funny that the Canadian teams don't win the cup. So I'm in the interest of like the teams from Canada continuing to, you know, barf all over themselves in the playoff every year.
I love that. I love that. That's your stance. That's such a good, it's such a good one. That's classic. I mean, they literally just have been just barf, right? Like just constant barf. And that shouldn't be possible. They're Keeney, they're Canadian. This is their sport.
It is their sport. Yep. And we keep taking it from them.
We keep taking it from them. That's good. Yeah. They, you know, it's fine. They, you know, they won an NBA title on us. That's enough. We can't let them have no more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was everything on my list. You have a parting shot before we wrap up this here podcast.
Boy, do I. It's great to talk to you again. I'm trying to think of everything else. We've covered, you know, the fact that the Twins stink. So that's good. And, we'll have to connect offline about these gambling tips, betting on playoff hockey. Keeney, is it time for us to once again, in closing, you know, we're talking about the playoffs, reference the John Boyce tweet about playoff hockey. Is that a fitting way to end the show? Do we need to talk about this?
It's perpetually a banger. I don't think there's been any overtime yet, so it hasn't applied yet, but it's just always a banger. So yes, if you know, you know.
Yeah. If you know the tweet, one of my first bookmarks on this website, Keeney, like I've been trying to use that function more and I continue to forget to do it. We'll end on this. Do you have a bookmark tweet that you think about? I think about the John Boyce tweet, like routinely. I think about this tweet that I have from around the same time period. Keeney, it's the Shohei Ohtani tweet.
That's a good one too, yeah.
Every time I see an Angels highlight, it's like Mike Trout hit 3 home runs and raised his average to .528, while Ohtani did something that hasn't been done since Tungsten Armo Doyle of the 1929 Akron Groomsmen as the Tigers defeated the Angels 8-3. It's sad that, you know, he's no longer on the Angels, so that joke is not relevant anymore. But it's an all-time tweet. Just an all-time tweet.
I think I'm more interested in the people that bookmark my tweets. Like, in what world are you ever going to reference this again?
Right, like, what do you need this tweet for?
Yeah. Oh, you mean that thing I said about Brock Purdy in September, that he was going to win the Super Bowl, and then you want to, like, dunk on me because he lost the Super Bowl in overtime? Yeah, you got me. Go ahead. But, yeah.
Yeah, looking through mine, a lot of just random stuff, but I have Phil Mickelson's apology bookmarked for some reason. For his gambling problems. Was that for the Lightcast? Was that like a is that a cry for help?
I don't know.
Oh, I also have the Heavens tweet about Matt. Press conference. That's a great tweet.
Oh, Matt, we made it like 59 minutes and then we had a quick cut on the audio that went downhill.
Am I gone now?
No, I still got you, but I missed that's you fine. Talking about the coffee can. So
that's right. We're going to put them in the coffee can. The Wolves are going to put the Suns in the coffee can. The Wolves are back. That's the important thing.
Yep. You got it. All right. I think we'll close the podcast with that because tech issues.
Tune in. That's right. Tune in next week for more bookmarked tweets on the Lightcast.
Hey, we need summer content. All right. Thanks for listening. Matt, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Catch you later.